It's time for the Ronin role-playing podcast. Join Scormy as he plays through various tabletop role-playing games entirely on his own. Some are specifically designed for solo play, while with others he will be using a GM emulator. Regardless, come enjoy the strange world of solo role-playing with your host, Scormy.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Ronin Roleplaying Podcast. I'm your host, Squirmus, and happy holidays. So, when last we left our intrepid adventurers in Steamcraft, they were stranded effectively in a ancient valley in the middle of the Shadowlands. They've lost communications with the rest of their expedition, and they're in the shadow of a massive ziggurat. Ancient abandoned village, and have just been attacked by a winged serpent, which they took down surprisingly easily. Well, if I hadn't managed to get cover, I would have been unsurprisingly turned into ash. It breathed weird blue-green fire. Remember, this is all off the top of my head, guys. Just flowing with it, okay? Anyway, so when the sun rises, they got quickly some food together. They've split the party yet again into a small group. Part of it is staying in the village, where they can guard an eye on the corpse of the winged serpent. And the other half of the expedition that they had with them is up at the base camp, top of the up above the valley, trying to get communications going. We don't know anything about them. And now there's a few of us, Professor Cameron, my character, a couple soldiers, and a couple students are going to go up into that ziggurat to see if we can find out what is causing this weird electrical hum down here in the valley. So let's see if anything happens. We'll start at an opening they find into the ziggurat. Leave it at that. And if we can get something that gives us a little inspiration for this. I'd better make a scrutiny test. And I rolled a 96, so that's a failure, and I won't see that. So they'll see this cobweb-covered dust all over the place, opening into the ziggurat. The webs are kind of splayed, and there's like air that blows in and out. Right. Odd. But I see nothing untoward, having rolled a 96, because, you know, that's not good. And we will lead in. We're going to have one of the soldiers go first. One of the mercenaries will go first. One will be in the back. I will be second. Professor third and the students will be behind the professor. That sounds good. Got a big gun up front and a big gun in the back. It didn't work so well last time. Dude got turned into mush. But, hey, you know what? It's the holidays. Let's be hopeful. So, let's move in. I believe we have lighting sources. I thought I had some form of lighting. Tell me I brought some form of lighting. Well, I don't personally have any form of lighting because I'm apparently a moron. But being an experienced adventurer, I'm going to say that the professor does. So we will have some lighting. It won't be great, but we'll have some little crystal lamps. Because we haven't been nearly steampunk enough lately. Let's, you know, have some cool crystal lamps that work. Anyway, what am I rolling to? I need to draw. And in fact, I'm going to draw from the deck of tales this time. Well, I got an icon that is a padlock with a musical note on it. And I'm going to say that inspires me a little bit. I'm going to say that there's this air moving back and forth in the hallway. Sometimes it pushes outwards, which has got this dusty, stale scent to it. Then it rushes back in with a little more fresh air behind it. And that's fine and all. But at a point, it comes to a place where there's a doorway. Stone. Big stone door ahead. And this is all cut stonework. It's roughly done, but very precise. And there's chimes outside the door. And they're hanging there. And they're not way, you know, really moving much. The wind, the air blows them just slightly. Not enough to clinkle them. Get them to clink together. So, what happened? Well, is the soldier stupid enough to do anything stupid? Yes, yes, he is. Well, he's going to walk up and go and brush the chimes together, and they make a musical tinkling noise. All chaotic, no pattern to it or substance. Is that bad? Yes. Am I going to have to dodge pretty quickly? I'm guessing so. No, but there is a scream and a splash of red as he brushes the chimes and make them all smash together and whatnot, and spikes come shooting out from multiple directions. You just impale him from different directions rapidly, basically pinning him standing there in place. And there's a spray of red as blood spews all over the place. And the chimes tinkle against each other briefly. And when they finally stop and they just start swaying to where they're not hitting each other anymore, the spikes slowly retract back into the holes we hadn't noticed before. And the body just slumps to the ground. Professor! I believe we have a puzzle to solve. So the professor was behind me. He's like, okay, yes. This might be a bit of an issue. Lads, do be so good as to move the gentleman out of the way. And they look at each other and grab him by the jacket and drag him back. I'm going to reach down and grab his weapons as he gets as he starts moving away. Yeah. Hey, waste not, want not. The other hired gun is going to strip him of ammunition and rations, that sort of thing. Basically take his pack away from him and leave him otherwise. So, Professor, chimes that really don't like being touched and a dead end. What do you think would be a good way to handle? Well, I do say this is part of why I hired you, Mr. Adventurer for Hire. I thought you'd say that. Well, let's see. I'm going to use scrutiny. See if I can see anything. What might be triggering those spikes? Could it be just the sound? Or something else that he did? Well, I rolled just low enough. Yes. Let's see. Ah! There's the sound of the whistling of wind. Interesting. Everybody step back. Step back. I'll stay. I saw where the spikes came through the walls and floor and ceiling, so I'm going to stay clear of them. Look for any other holes near me. Not seeing any. I'll lean in as close as I possibly can and blow on the chime. Does anything happen? Yes. Is it catastrophically bad? Well, that's a no. What does it mean? Well, just to move things along, I'm going to say that caused the door to slide up. touching the chimes made the trap go off. I'll advise everyone to stay clear. Don't blow on them. Don't breathe on them. Don't make them move. Absolutely do not touch them. Forward through the... On the other side, there's another set of chimes, which I will again note for everyone to stay clear of. Don't touch or affect the chimes unless it's necessary. And then, blow hard. One of the students is like, yeah, that describes you. Guess who just got assigned to go up front? Hand him a gun. Take point, and I'll fall in line behind him. Now, what do we see beyond? In this massive room, there's the red glow like from a furnace down, far down below us. I have to go down a bunch of steps deep into the ziggurat. There's a red glow. There's a sound of static. Of course, that's caught all this electricity in the air, just making the hair stand up. There's plenty of fresh air, but it is also a smoky smell to it as well. Haze. It's very odd and dark down here. There's light from what appears to be these crystals sticking out of the rock at odd locations. They're just thrumming, just ever so slightly. And different colors. Some are whitish, more yellow, blue, green, or towards reds and oranges. Some are even more of a purplish. All colors of the rainbow. I wouldn't suggest tasting the rainbow in this way, but they're at no discernible pattern. Just weird crystals sticking out of the rock that glow slightly. Amazing, the professor says. I so want to take some of these with us. And you will not be doing so, Professor. We saw what happened when someone physically affected just chimes in this ziggurat. I dare say chipping a bit of that crystal might doom all of us. Perhaps you're right, Captain. Perhaps you're right. He says something quietly to students. Oh, we're all gonna die, I say under my breath. I nudge the loudmouthed student in front of me. Go on, let's go. Start down the stairs, deeper down towards the glow. Perhaps an ancient forge? Who knows? Who's to say? Well, I am, because I'm gonna find out what happens in the next scene. Let's say we get down to the bottom, and there's this pristine, uncut stone floor. I mean, it's just absolutely flat. It looks like it's just, there are no seams. It is this massive chunk of rock. It's black, but with veins of gold and silver through it. And it just appears to be one large rock. And ahead of us, there's a collection of standing stones rising up out of that floor, as if a part of it. There are six of them, spaced evenly around a central base where the glowing is coming from. And as we approach, there's some flashes of light from behind. It appears that someone's using that photographic equipment again. What is ahead? Well, ahead there is a giant, well, not giant, it's perhaps 4 feet by 4 feet in size, and it's sticking out maybe waist high, maybe 3 feet from the floor. And it is a glowing chunk of stone? Crystal? And it's perfectly even and smooth, but it is glowing red and does seem to put off the slightest amount of heat as one approaches it. It's bright enough to be seen all the way up from the main entry. Around it, what do we see? Anything suspicious? Well, there's a collection of corpses. Well, more skeletons at that. Each of them are sitting with their backs to those stone sticking out of the floor, facing towards that glowing, not quite a cube. Amazing. What could it mean? Mr. Wilde, what do you think? I think we're not coming away with any artifacts here. This is your department, Professor. I'm going to go look at those corpses. So I go over and in turn start checking each of those skeletons. They do have the remnants of some rags on them. I'm going to scrutinize them to see if I can see anything important. Yes, succeed. Go marker. Now, I'm going to say that they have the remnants of this cloth and some of it has some runes on them. I take that it perhaps to be the rags, the last remaining bits of ceremonial robes. Perhaps these were six priests who were chosen to oversee whatever it is that's down here. Around their necks, they each have a different necklace carved from stone, perhaps the same black stone as this floor is made up from, each with a different rune. Curious. I'm going to look around to see if there's any booby traps. That will require another scrutiny check. Well, I succeeded, so let's see if there was. Yes, there were traps. So I will be careful to avoid each trap. I want the necklace from each of these guys. The trap appears to have been along the lines of a spike shooting up or a blade coming out, that sort of thing. Nothing that like sprays gas or anything of the sort. Mostly poison traps, spike traps. It's odd because we have this thrumming. Oh, and I should say the electrical thrumming is quite loud down here. Perhaps it comes from the cube? Who can say? But the lines where these things come out from are so well hidden. It's amazing. But once I've collected all six of those necklaces, I'm going to do something impetuous, because you know I'm impulsive, right? So I'm going to do something impulsive. I'm going to drop the necklaces on top of the block. All six of them. Just drop. No, you fool! Not a very good British accent, I know. Oh, is this bad? No, it is not. So let's draw for inspiration as to see what happens. There's a rumble in the ground and the smell of freshly oiled machinery as the ziggurat comes to life. Not in a classic sense of, oh, it's alive, it's alive. No, as in the crystals all get distinctly brighter, lighting up the interior space. This massive interior space lights it all up. And things start rising up out of the ground. And there's the sound of clockwork as the thrumming of electricity becomes more intense. And this ancient machine, the ziggurat itself being a machine unto itself, just starts up. I don't know what the hell it's doing, but it started up. Oh, and the cube is changing colors, thrumming in different colors. It was red, now it's thrumming from blue, green, yellow, and different patterns, sometimes more chromatic, as the machines all start moving into position. And it's just all manner of different stone and weirdly chromatic metal no brass here. Is it silver? It seems, but it's more mirror reflection off of this metal. And the shapes and degrees of, I've never seen anything like this. I have no idea what these things do, but they're thrumming and spinning and whirring and don't seem to be hostile. It's just doing something while the stone sits there and thrums and changes colors. So, Professor, I think this is now back in your court. What the hell is going on? And I wish I knew. But I certainly am not going to let you back in my lab when we get home. Assuming we do get home, Professor. We'll see about that. Anything happen now? Yes. Let's draw for inspiration, shall we? To the deck of tales we go. There's a loud clang. And another clang. Something off the other side of the ziggurat on the mound, on the ground floor in here. Down with us. There's something making a thumping clang. Metal on stone.
Oh, what is that?
The other mercenary, the remaining mercenary, says. I don't know, why don't you go find out?
No!
Alright then, shut up. Keep an eye out. Oh, I think it's that guy. There's a big, huge, humanoid robot thing. Some sort of automatron coming our way. I know the word is automaton, but we're going to call it automatron. Yes, I'm going to write that down. The silver automatron. Thus dubbed the automatron, as in auto-matron. Yes, because it's got boobies. Or so I will recall once we're all done with this, assuming I survive. Oh, yeah. So, it's coming towards us. It's not running, but it's definitely coming at a steady pace. Professor?
The ball's back in your court, my good man. Go adventure that thing. Go find out what's up.
Or down.
Just yell if you need us to flee, because I'm ready.
I'll be bringing these, boys, make sure to grab those necklaces before we go.
The hell you will!
I plan to come out of here alive.
You, scaredy gun, with me!
So the other soldier raises up his rifle and steps forward. Not really sure you want to point that at the lady.
You keep your own business, man. I'll keep to mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll step a little further away from him. So, how does the automatron react? Well, there's the hiss of escaping gas that comes from it. And I'm going to say that something shoots forward out of her torso. And it shoots at Scaredy Gun over there, who has its gun aimed at it. Does not appear to have hit, but it shot a spear of some sort at him, and he was able to sidestep away from it. It then whirs and does a little chink, 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 and adjusts to aim towards him again. Oh, that's not good. You really want to put that gun down.
No!
Let me see. Does he react in a panic? Yes. So he's going to return fire. But misses. And how does the missus handle it? Poorly. Apparently she had reloaded her chest, and another bolt fires forth from her. And it strikes home with him. Let's do some damage now. Well, it's not bad. It's only 21. Only 21 points of damage as he's struck dead in the chest. by this bolt, which is now sticking out of his back, and he's kind of hard to breathe with a, stone bolt through your chest. Or is it stone? Yeah, let's say it is. It's that same black stone. She, quote-unquote, the auto matron, will turn her head my way, and I was like, whoa, hands up. I am just gonna keep my distance and make sure it knows I am not a threat. I'm not a threat. And I'll look back towards the chromatic stone over there, and all the professor and the remaining and the other students all go, whoop, hands straight up in the air. One of them even has his camera in his hand, then whoop, lets it fall. And it shatters on the floor. Professor, no, you fool! I ain't dying for you, Professor. I ain't dying for you. And they looks away. Looks back at the dude with the gun in his hand and the bolt in his chest and whose blood is coming out of his mouth. Is he going to be stupid? Yes, emphatically. He's going to open up again with his rifle. Screaming as he does. Well, he hits true a couple times. Roll some damage on that. Oh, but it's minimal. Ping, ping, ping. Bullets bounce off of the thing. And as it's continued to walk forward, there's still whirring and clicking in its chest. It's probably reloading into its chest bolter. But it, whatever you want to call it, the matron takes two hurried steps, rushes forward, and bonk! Strikes him on the head with one massive left fist. Attempts to. I'm going to say that hits. Yeah, I'm going to say that hits. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Crack! Down onto his head. His neck snaps at a weird angle. His skull is flattened on the top. Blood shoots out of his ears and out of his mouth. He spits blood out with the force of the impact, and his body crumples. And it looks body. It's over. And still in the air! We're no threat to you. We are no threat. It comes over. Stomp. 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 I'm looking right at that hole where the bolts have been shooting out of. As this 9-foot-tall metal monstrosity looks down, observes for a moment, then walks past, heading towards the 6 standing stones and the stone, glowing stone altar, if you will, in the middle. Meanwhile, all the other devices and whirling doodads continue upon their path, and it looks at the students and at the professor, who are standing silent, arms in the air, the professor with profound curiosity on his face. You could see he's looking at it, trying to see, how does it work? How does this thing run on its own? What is powering it? You can just, all this in his eyes. You can see that in his eyes. And it looks at each of the students, looks at the camera, reaches down and picks it up, a broken piece of it. Just kind of cradles it in its hand, turns and walks away. Thump! 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 And it starts roaming a patrol, weaving in amongst the different devices. And the professor says, amazing. I wonder if we were to remove the necklaces, the pendants, we remove them from the altar, will everything shut down and the guardian return to its place of rest? Seems likely, Professor, but maybe, just maybe, we might want to leave things alone for the moment and step out for a bit. See if we can maybe get out first. We know how to get back in. Can we escape? That might be the safest point of view. Indeed. Indeed. Ah, yes, and there's the jingle bell. So, we will have the group step out, make their way back up the stairs. We'll leave. No, we won't. We're going to collect the corpse. I will carry the corpse of that soldier out. Can't leave him behind. I will leave his gun behind. I'm not picking that thing up. Oh no, not with the Guardian around. And when we get blow on the chimes, I'm going to assume the door closed. Did it? No, actually the door didn't. So we will leave the door open and we will go past carefully, not to touch the chimes. Once we get out, I'm going to ask the students to drag the remains of the other soldier up as we walk up out to the entrance into the ziggurat, the exterior entrance, and then we'll go down the stairs. And what happens when we come out of the ziggurat, though? Do we see anything unusual? Yes. Yes. We see the monarch. It is blocking the sun, floating above us. And there are lines coming down with crewmen in the village. Apparently, the base camp was able to make contact via crystal radio and call for help. The monarch was able to drive away whatever it was that was attacking, and although it is rather damaged, they will be able to repair it and get back underway in a few days. A captain has come down. Captain, what was his name again? I'm sorry. Walker has come down and is overseeing the rescue. Also down there are the Grants. They're, well, not they so much. More, Keelan, the father, is stomping around wanting to know where in the blazes is that professor. Then he sees us coming out and he stomps forward to meet us at the ziggurat, wanting to know what is going on. And, oh no, I'm going to have to pay to the families of those dead soldiers. He's all concerned about the money. What did you find, man? How does the professor react to that? Oh, he looks at him and says, nothing, unfortunately. Nothing of vast worth. Alas, there were traps. You know, I did warn you about that, and unfortunately, these poor souls fell afoul of them. They were too impetuous. But there is a vast archaeological find here, and that alone should be definitely worthwhile. Your foundation will have many finds to return to the museums, and that alone, if not, it certainly may not be a financial return, but in terms of your notoriety and esteem and respect you will gain within society is limitless. Trust me on this. There's years worth of work here. I must find a larger, more detailed, and prepared crew. This was a survey mission. Can you imagine what we'll be able to find here and return as artifacts back to the museum? It is absolutely amazing. This is such an amazing find. Does he buy it? Yes, the idiot buys it. And so, yes, I think we will leave it here. I'm not going to say that Grant's daughter is so dumb, though. I think she sees that there's a little bit more to this. In fact, I think she's going to basically ask her father if she can take over and be his point person on this survey and ensure that his interests are overseen. And she'll work closely with the professor so that his interests are, and the family's interests, are first and foremost. Oh, certainly, we do want to get... Science is definitely important, but with our money, we need to make sure that the Grant family name is attached to every find here. Oh, I believe we can work together. And they'll... The professor and the Grants will wander off together. Oh, Professor, Cameron will say. Oh, indeed, yes. I believe I forgot something. I'll be back in an hour or two. I'll be right back. Oh, yes. I'll give him a quick wink before I head back into the ziggurat. I'm going to blow. Go to those first chimes and blow on them. And get the door to close. Then I'll blow on it again. Make sure the door will reopen. It does. Well, actually, let's check. Yes, it does. Okay. So just finish out the story. I'm going to rush down there. Hands up. Leave my weapons outside. Just make sure the guardian takes notice of me, but doesn't say anything. And then I'm going to take those pendants off of the altar. And I'm going to set them back at each where they were at each of those standing stones. The corpses have shattered. They've fallen apart. But I can at least lay them down at each of those points so that we know that they're back in place. And the devices all start returning back to their starting positions, you know, back in the floor. And the guardian starts moving off towards its resting spot. And then I'm getting the hell out of here. Because we don't know what the hell's going to happen if this thing just keeps running. And then I'll blow on the door. Blow on the chimes. Carefully, not to get spiked. Lock this thing up. And get out. And now we'll leave it. That was okay. I liked that. Now, just to finalize things, since this is our last adventure, our last episode with Steamcraft, it's a good game. I enjoyed my time with it. The system is a little weird. It's going to take some getting used to. If you really like steampunk, I think this is a good game for you. But it has a feel. I knew it was a little OSR, a little old school revival. And it is. It's not fully... It doesn't fully mesh with classic OSR games like old school Essentials. But it's that sort of a feel to it. I think it has probably a little too... I don't want to say too many charts, but man, there's so many modifiers in combat. I feel it slows things down a little bit. I had to get a little cinematic with things so as not to drag out every combat. Last month, we did it by the book, and it was absolutely a little bit of a slog. But it went okay. This, I had fun with it, and I hope the story was fun enough. I hope you enjoyed that. And it would be story enough to pick up from and move on with at a later date. Perhaps we will. Much like with last year when we did Feng Shui 2. Great ending, could pick up from there again. I did leave it on it wasn't a cliffhanger, but there was definitely some threads to pick up from there. Much the same here. But I'm not sure I will. Because while it's a good game, there are better games. So would I give this a recommendation? Yes, I would. It is certainly a fun game. I don't know if you can get the hardback copy anymore like I did. I got mine off of Amazon. But you can check with perilousjourneys.com to see if you can still get a copy. You might even be able to get it off of like a PDF off of DriveThruRPG. I don't know. But certainly worth it, especially if you like more of an old school revival type of feel and you don't mind having to crunch numbers a lot. There's a lot of add 20, take away 10, this sort of thing. Add it all together and roll your percentiles. Also, I'm not a huge fan of how you only have a few skills or abilities that you're good at, and everything else is like a tenth of the attribute that's attached to it. Like for acrobatics, I have a 5% chance. That's ridiculous. Okay? I'm not a huge fan of that. What you're good at, you're relatively good at. I mean, ranged weapons, 41, melee weapons, 40, scrutiny, 45, things like that. But you only have six of those. You only have six abilities that you start out with that are good. And they're only moderately good. So, yeah, not a huge fan of that. But overall, kind of reminds me of a Steamcraft. I mean, it's a steampunk sort of Call of Cthulhu type of game. And if you're into that, awesome. Check it out. Now, next month, January of 2022, we're going to be starting up Season 2. Yes, I know this was a 14-month-long Season 1, because in 2020, the first 2 months were kind of bonus. The Feng Shui was... it was just starting up from there. Anyway, we're going to do annual seasons from now on, starting in January. And Season 2 starts up with a game that I have been itching to play. I love horror games. I love them. And I'm a huge fan of Lester Smith. He is a legend in role-playing. Maybe you don't know the name, but you know the games he's worked on. Everything from 2nd edition D&D to a variety of other things he's worked on, including the classic Dark Conspiracy. I love Dark Conspiracy. In fact, it's one of the games I want to play on this series at some point. And in fact, I was going to this coming season. But I changed my mind. Instead, I'm doing something a little different. I'm going to play his newest game. Well, newest as of the time of this recording, and that is D13 RPG. It is built to be kind of an anthology horror game so that you can do short one-shots with it and then change it up real fast, moving from story to story to story with a unique D13 mechanic where you use a D4 and a D10. Right? But you read the D10 as 0 to 9 instead of 1 to 10. So you add those together and you can get from 1 to 13 that way. See? You roll those against an attribute. If you roll higher than 10, you always fail. So it is kind of stacked against the players. And I think it's going to be very unique to see how this runs as a solo game. I'm super looking forward to it, and I'm also going to be using a new product with it. Now, a little while ago, I've been using these Game Master's Apprentice as my primary Oracle for a while now. I have a variety of different decks, and I really enjoy using them, but, well... I got contacted by the gentleman who makes Game Master's Apprentice. And he hooked me up with something. The ability to pick up a deck that isn't available to the general public. And that is something he made. I believe it was probably a Kickstarter bonus. But since I was basically... showing off his product and will continue to do so. He hooked me up with the ability to get it. And, oh man, I wish I had known about this. I would have totally backed this as a Kickstarter. Next time, when we play D13, we will be using the Weird Horror deck. Not the horror deck. Weird horror. You know, Cthulian stuff. This looks like it is so set up to be played anything from Saw type of game to Call of Cthulhu type, you know, Cthulian cosmic horror to, any number. You can think of any weird ass horror film from The Fly to Hellraiser, Evil Dead, any of that. And I am going to be playing with that next time. So, until next week and next season, I'm Squirmy, reminding you that if you can't play with your friends, you can always play with yourself.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you want more content like this, come on over to squirmy.com. We've got more podcasts, blogs, our own Discord server, and so much more. Also, don't forget to join us again next week as your intrepid guide Squirmy delves once more into the world of solo role-playing.